We come to message 7. David typifying Christ, the real David, the King of the coming kingdom of God. At the outset of this message, I will just let you know that it has not been that easy to prepare to speak this particular message. It's a very important message, and it is a very, very rich message. And it touches a lot of things in the Word of God. And here we're talking about David. And we're here talking about David being the type, a type of Christ. In other words, Christ is the real David. And we're here talking also about David as a king in type, showing to us that Jesus, that Christ, is the real king. And as well, David's kingdom, David's throne, would really be ultimately Christ's kingdom and Christ's throne in fulfillment. And so a very, very rich subject here. And so I have quite decided that I will just remain in the lanes of this outline, and the references, scripture references in this outline. Obviously, there's no way we can cover this rich subject in an hour or so. I hope that not only during this training, but after this training, many of us will spend the time to study this matter of David and Christ. The other thing was, as I was preparing for this message, inwardly I did have a prayer that although there are a lot of speaking concerning the type, concerning its fulfillment, and this whole matter, of course, related to the kingdom, is a huge, huge biblical subject that, in fact, we're here touching on the matter of the dispensation of the kingdom. You know, Samuel was the one who turned the age from judgeship and even from priesthood to the age of the kingship, the age of the king among the people of Israel. But Christ came to change the age from the one of the law to the one of grace. And that, of course, is even a greater change of dispensation. And after this age of grace, there would be yet another dispensation before eternity, before the new heaven and the new earth with the new Jerusalem as its center. There would be another dispensation coming, and that is the coming age, the age we call of the kingdom, the age of the millennium, of the 1,000 years kingdom of Christ. And so here we are actually touching the dispensational change in God's full economy. And David would have something to do with it. And for sure, Christ has everything to do with that. You see, it is a huge and massive subject here. But in order, again, not to be distracted by so many things, I would just stick to this very well-composed message. I'm so thankful that we have this as a crystal in this present crystallization study of 1 and 2 Samuel. So if you will pardon me, I will just quite stick to the outline and just say something about the different points. One more thing, if I may. It has also have been hard as I prepare for this message to find the appropriate hymns to go along with this. And of course, if you were in this meeting earlier, there were two hymns that I selected. One is 147, on the praise of the Lord, his kingdom. We actually don't have that many hymns related to the praise of the Lord touching his kingdom directly. We do touch his exaltation, we touch his glory, and so forth. But as far as his kingdom, not that many hymns. And this hymn 147, written by Brother Witness Lee, I find is a hymn that we hardly sing at our Lord's table. Perhaps as the Spirit would lead in the coming days, coming years, there would be the opportunity for us as at the Lord's table to pray, to give praise to God's anointed, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is Christ himself as the real David and the one who inherited kingdom from God. And I just hope that we would have that kind of opportunity because it's a very well-written hymn. And the other one is 151, a hymn that we would sing a little bit more. Come, let us sing. Praise to our King, Jesus our King, Jesus our King. This is our song who to Jesus belong. Glory to Jesus our King. This does not sing about David, our King, but Jesus our King, because he is the true and real and permanent and eternal King. And David is only a type, a very, very crucial type of this anointed one, Christ. Now, let us begin in this message. Roman 1, David typifies Christ, the real David. I think this is a very simple statement, but totally on point and should be very, very definite and clearly and clear in our understanding. David typifies Christ like none other, probably. So he is actually the real David. The real David is this one, Jesus Christ. A, David is the most thorough type of Christ revealed in the Old Testament. Actually, the Old Testament is filled with types of Christ. Christ is so all-inclusive, so untraceably rich, that it takes many, many types to reveal, to illustrate who he is and even what he is. But of all the types, David's is the most thorough one revealed in the Old Testament and covering the longest period of time. And so from the time when David was anointed by Samuel, just as a 15-year-old boy, all the way to David's reign on the throne, it covers the longest period of time. And it covers, as you can see in the story of David, so many aspects of this particular kingship. David was a king, and he was just a boy, though he was anointed. And he has to pass through many things. He has to pass through many sufferings. He was even made a assistant to King Saul. Can you believe this? And that's why there's so much tension there. And David under this Saul was what? Suffered a lot. Then David was even rejected. And David was the one that fought. He was a war king. He was a warrior king to fight down the enemies, to conquer the enemies in order to possess the land more fully, to establish the kingdom of Israel. And he was, of course, the one who ascended to the throne, but he was also the one who paid the full price to buy the land to build God's house. He was the one actually who prepared all the materials for the building of God's house. And then he was the one who actually prepared the blueprint, shall we say, the plan of God's building. He even set up so many things with the priests and so forth to augment this. And so even as I am here reciting in a very brief manner of what this king was, David, can you already think in your mind that this is just Christ? Christ, as the real David, the real king, was the anointed one. When even he was given birth, the Magi came looking for the king. They had the inspiration, they're coming to find the king of the Jews, the king of Israel. For that baby in the manger was the king of the Jews. Yet this king in his earthly life and ministry, this king savior, was what? Suffered so much and rejected, and even at the end was even crucified and killed. But it does not stop there. I mean, you have to go back to the Gospels to study the life of Jesus the King in this way. Of course, the first Gospel of the four, the Gospel of Matthew, refers to the King Savior, the one who is the king of the kingdom of the heavens, not just the kingdom of David, the kingdom of the Jews, but the king of the kingdom of the heavens. But nevertheless, he was there, suffering and died, and eventually enter into resurrection. And in doing all of this, he was fighting the whole time, all the way to the cross. And praise him, in resurrection and even in ascension, he conquered Satan and put Satan to shame. He destroyed God's enemy as the warring king. And in resurrection, he had prepared the materials for God's building, God's house in the New Testament, that is the church. Do you see this? And in fact, he was the one who builds the church. I will build my church. He was the church. He would become the church building king, the material preparing king. And then he would ascend, of course, to the throne, to the right hand of God. And there he was sitting on the throne until the enemy becomes its footstool. And that has been the last 2,000 years. Jesus is on the throne at the right hand of God, waiting for Satan to be fully defeated so that he can bring his kingdom to this earth. And in Revelation it says, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Christ. And that refers to the Lord's coming and his inheriting that and him obtaining that kingdom for himself on the earth. Do you see, just again, this very brief speaking, that David was a full type of Christ the King? And even as you consider this, and as I was preparing, consider this, my spirit leapt, my heart just exulted. I was just praising the Lord. And so this song came to me, "Come let us sing praise to our King." I hope even now, how about we take a moment to praise the King? Praise the King Jesus. Praise the real David. He is the one. He is the one. A, David is the most thorough type of Christ. I read this already. B, in keeping with the principle seen in Matthew 12, that Christ is the greater than all, that Christ is greater than all the types, greater than all things and persons in the Old Testament that typify him, Christ is the greater David. Now, if you don't remember, this is the story of the Lord. And with on Sabbath, going through the grain fields with his disciples, and they have all become hungry, and they start picking the ears of the grain to eat, his disciples, the Pharisees, again, the Sabbath patrol, saw them and say, "Your disciples is doing something absolutely unlawful to break the Sabbath in this manner. How can you do this?" And this afforded the Lord a perfect opportunity to reveal who he was. He revealed to the Pharisees that he was three things in this chapter. Number one, that he was the true David. And number two, he was the one greater than the temple. And the third thing that is that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. In one breaking of this Old Testament decrepit ceremonial law, Jesus revealed who he was. But our attention we like to pay in this account was that Jesus is the real David. He is the real David, and he is actually one who is greater than David. And even here, I remember, I think in Matthew, let me try to see here, 22, I said that I will not digress. I suppose I am digressing a little bit here, where the Pharisees again, you see, the Pharisees were always behind the Lord, trying to get him, to catch him. And this time, Jesus turned around, and he would catch these Pharisees. What do you think concerning the Christ? Whose son is he? They say to him, David. They were right, but only half right. They were only partially right. He said to them, "How then does David, in spirit, call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord'?" This is Psalm 110, which we will refer to in a little bit in this later in the outline. "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies underneath your feet.'" This refers to the Lord's ascension and his enthronement there in Psalm 110. And then the Lord asks the question of all questions, is if then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? How would a father call his son or grandson the Lord? This reveals very, very clearly again that Christ is what? The real David, and Christ is the one greater than David. He was actually not only just David's descendant, which he was according to the flesh, the seed of David. This refers to Christ's humanity. But in fact, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Christ, the Anointed. And he would be through resurrection and ascension, be set up and established by God as the leader, the Lord, the King, the ruler of the earth. And so here we see again how Christ is actually greater than David. Christ is the greater David. Number one, the Lord's word in Matthew 12, 3 to 4 implies that he is the real David. A, David had followers, and Christ, the real David, also has disciples as his followers. And B, all of this implies that David and his followers were a type, a prefigure of Christ and his disciples. Recall the law, David was actually fleeing from Saul at that time, being rejected, and he and his companions found themselves in the place where in the house of Jehovah, and there he was what? Supplied with the holy bread of the presence, the bread that is reserved only for the priest to eat. No one can eat that. And yet at that instance, this holy bread was given to him and his companion to eat. Of course, this is done by this priest called Abimelech, who also, by the way, gave him the sword of Goliath. But there you can see, brothers and sisters, how David is greater even than the priest. Now, we will see this in number two here. As the king, he is greater than the priest. Two, the Lord's word in Matthew 12, 3 to 4 also implies a dispensational change from the priesthood to the kingship. Before this time, before Samuel, it was the priesthood that was ordained by God, arranged by God to be the ones who would judge the people of Israel. They would be the one who administrate the people of Israel. So they were the ones on the top. They were the ones, you may say, who have the administrative rule over the children, the people of Israel. But there was now a dispensational change from the priesthood to the kingship with Samuel coming into the scene. And so the coming of David, being anointed to be king, changed the dispensation from the age of the priest to the age of the kings, in which the kings were now above the priests. So actually, David, in the house of God there, he was actually above the priest. He could do whatever he wanted. He ate that bread, not breaking the law. He ate that bread rightfully because he had the right to do so. By the coming of Christ, B says, the dispensation was also changed, this time from the age of the law to the age of grace, in which Christ is above all. So now this Christ is above the law, He's above all. It's not what the law says, it's what Christ say. Whatever Christ does is right. You may ask me, what is really the kingdom of Christ? It simply means Christ as the king in his kingdom can do whatever he pleases. Whatever he does, it's right. Whatever he says, it's right. If he breaks the Sabbath, that's right. It's right. If he eats the holy bread of the presence, he did the right thing, because he is the king, not just a priest, and he is above all. Hallelujah to Christ, our King. Today, we need to really live under his kingship, shouldn't we? We just be his companion, shall we? As his disciples, as his mighty men. And with him, we just follow the King. And see, in Matthew 1:6, David is called the King. David the King in the genealogy. It's a very special description, a term given to David. It's not just David, but David the King, like Samuel, not just Samuel, but Samuel the prophet. David is the King because it was through him that the kingdom with the kingship was brought in to Israel. He was the landmark of two ages, the conclusion of one age and the beginning of another age, the conclusion of the age of the judgeship and the age, you may say, of that priesthood, and the beginning of another age, the age of the kingship with the King. Now see, David typifying the suffering Christ is revealed in Psalm 22, 109, and 110. We've selected here these three particular Psalms to show how David is a type of the suffering Christ. David went through a lot of sufferings, as we mentioned, but all those sufferings are a type of Christ's suffering, the suffering that Christ went through as a seed of David when he was God, a God man on the earth. He was actually God, but he became a man, born as a seed of David, and to fulfill this type as the true David. And so this Christ, also passed through a lot of suffering, eventually this death by crucifixion. And we will see this in Psalm 22. Now, again, there's no time here. There's only just this one point. But I would just like to say this, starting with Psalm 20. Let me turn to Psalm 22 here. My God, why have you forsaken me? One of the famous utterances of the Lord Jesus when he was on the cross. I mean, this is a very clear proof that this Psalm of David, showing David's in his situation, in his suffering, call out to God, it actually is a type of what Christ would do in a similar way, calling out to the Father when he was hanging on that cross. And the verses here Psalm 22 from verse 1 all the way to verse 22 covers all the different aspects of the Lord's suffering. And Brother Lee said this, and I like to follow him. He said it would be good for the young people among us to study this psalm. And I would hasten to say that also study this psalm along with that famous chapter in Isaiah chapter 53, which prophesied concerning the Lord's death, the Lord's the suffering of the Lord's death, and with these this psalm and that chapter to really study and hear the Lord's suffering, fulfilling David's suffering really is. In what? Is in great detail. It's thorough. And today I'm just a bit concerned that our young people, as far as the Lord's redemptive death, as far as his vicarious crucifixion, we know that, but we don't have the detailed knowledge of it. And it is good to go back to the Old Testament to study this. And when you study this, you will appreciate the Lord dying for us on the cross. And so I would also like to say this, but I leave that study to you. And of course, in the second half of this Psalm 22, you have the Lord's resurrection, beginning with, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you, and so on and so forth. Now, this is Psalm 22, showing the suffering David typifies the suffering Christ. Then we come to another two Psalms. First is Psalm 109. Psalm 109 is a prayer offered by David about his sufferings again. Here in A, David is a type of Christ, and David's suffering typifies Christ's suffering again here in Psalm 109. And B says David's prayer concerning his sufferings typifies Christ's prayer. So here in this psalm, it is David praying in his suffering. But because David is a type of Christ, so David's prayer here concerning his sufferings typify Christ's prayer in his suffering, in his suffering. It says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 this one, referring to Christ, in the days of his flesh have offered up both petitions and supplications with strong crying and tears to him that is his Father, who was able to save him out of death and hath been heard because of his piety. This is Hebrews 5:7. So this verse tells us that Christ's suffering is David's prayer in his suffering is actually what foretells Christ's prayer in his suffering before he went to the cross. And number three, the prayer in Psalm 109 is actually answered in Psalm 110. Psalm 109 is David's prayer in his suffering, and it's also a description of his suffering. David here in Psalm 109 is a type of Christ, of course, and David's suffering therefore typifies Christ's suffering in his flesh. But this prayer was answered. This prayer of David was answered, or this prayer of Christ was answered, actually in the next psalm, and that is Psalm 110, that unveils Christ in his ascension. So what does this indicate? This indicates to us that God's answer to Christ's prayer was not only through resurrection, but also in ascension. So Psalm 10 here talks about, which is one of the highest psalm concerning Christ, is a psalm on Christ, not only his resurrection that he went through, but also his ascension. Of course, I again don't have the time here in this psalm. Christ is revealed as the King. This is in verse 2. He is the King. Jehovah will send forth the scepter of your strength from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. He's also here revealed as the priest in verse 4. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He's also the warrior, the fighting one in this psalm. And that is in verse 3. About in the days of his warfare, and also Christ is eventually shown as the victor, the one who would lift up his head after he drank by the from the brooks by the way. So here we see Christ being revealed. D, David also typifies Christ in his last words. David, a type of Christ, ruled among men. And I'm here reading this, and this is all can be found in 2 Samuel 23, 1 through 7. In his last words, David said, as a type of Christ, ruled among men righteously with the fear of God. Number two, David, a type of Christ, was like the light of the morning when the sun rises with clouds. And number three, when Christ rules among men righteously with the fear of God, he is like the light of the morning when the sun rises, as when the tender grass sprouts up from the earth at the sun's shining after a rain. All these refers or points to Christ himself. Christ as the ruler and the king. This is Christ. And David here in his last words spoke these things, pointing to Christ. So with all of this, we should be quite convinced that David really typifies Christ. And Christ is the real David. Romans 2, David the king typifies Christ the king. A, King David typifies Christ, the king of the coming kingdom of God, as the king established by God, the warring king, and the king despised and rejected by men. David was rejected, even he was king. Some of Saul's followers threw stones and dirt at him, rejected, despised, mocked. And so the Lord experienced the same. Now here in one, as typified by David, Christ is the fighting king who has won the victory over his enemies, who has gained the land, and who has prepared all the materials for the building up of the church as the temple of God. I mentioned this at the beginning of this message. Two, after Christ takes possession of the earth, and that day is coming, he will reign over the earth as the king in the kingdom, ruling over the nations with his overcoming believers. Three, as the coming king, Christ will be the head and the center of the coming kingdom of God in the millennial. This will be the fulfillment of Isaiah 32, Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah 23:5, and Zechariah 14:9-17. Now there are many verses here to read, and I don't think I have the time, but I just trust that you will study these verses that are referenced here. B, the prophet spoke of David and Christ as one. As one. They spoke about these two as one. Number one, in Jeremiah 39, it says, they will serve Jehovah their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Jehovah their God, David their king. It is one and the same. Two, this refers to Christ, who is the real David and who will be the king in the restoration. And that is the millennium. When we talk about the restoration, we're talking about the restoration of the nation, the kingdom of Israel, right? At least on the earthly part of the kingdom of Christ in the millennium. Three, this is in Ezekiel chapter 34, 23 to 24. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them and he will be their shepherd. And my servant David will be a prince among them. Here it is talking about what? The one shepherd, my servant David, actually referring to Christ as the real king and even the real shepherd king. A, David typifies Christ, the real shepherd of God's flock, feeding us and causing us to be filled and satisfied. B, when the Lord Jesus comes as the shepherd to care for us, he comes also as the king to govern us. The issue of the Lord's caring for us as our shepherd is that we obey him as our king and come under his kingship and his throne within us. Here I would just like to say this word, that the Lord rules us, the king, actually as a shepherd. Unlike the natural thinking of how to rule and reign, the Lord was a shepherd king, one who takes care of God's flock, one who feeds, one who fills and satisfies the sheep. And this kind of shepherding care is the way he rules, the way he governs, by taking care of us. Oh, what a kingdom this is. There's no other kingdom like this kingdom. Of course, there is the aspect of us having to obey him as our king, as the subjects of his kingdom, and coming under his kingship and his throne, that we would be obedient to him, that we would be subject to him. For sure, there is that aspect. But we need to see this whole kingdom here, how Christ would really rule us as the shepherd. Four, my servant David, this is Ezekiel 37:24, my servant David will be king over them, and they all will have one shepherd. Again, the shepherd is mentioned here together with kingship. A, this refers to Christ as our shepherd, who is the real David. Remember, David started out as a little shepherd, right? So when even he became king, he was still as a shepherd's background. So he would care for his kingdom in a shepherding way. How much more we have today the what? Good shepherd, the chief shepherd, right? The top shepherd. And that is Christ himself. B, this refers to Christ our shepherd, who is the real David. B, in relation to Israel, the prophecy given here will be fulfilled in the millennium, the age of restoration, and in eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth. The kingdom of Christ will not only be for the millennium period. Eventually, this will go on to the eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. Of course, this would be the full kingdom of God there. Five, afterward, the children of Israel will return and seek Jehovah, their God, and David, their king. And they will come and fear, with fear to Jehovah and to his goodness in the last days. This is in Hosea. Jehovah, their God, and David, their king. You see, they are consistent in this. All right, the prophets are consistent in this. A, David, their king, is Christ in the millennium. Who will be the king in the millennium? Who will be the king in the restoration as far as Israel is concerned? It will be Christ. It will be Christ. Now, the last days here, B says, refers to the age of restoration. That day is still coming. See, in the Lord's upcoming reign, in the coming millennium, God's authority and glory will be fully manifested, and the whole earth with its peoples will be brought into righteousness, peace, joy, and the full blessing of God's creation. This day will come. Brothers and sisters, are we not in the darkest of days? Are we not in a terrible, terrible age? But we should have what? Hope. That Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. And this time he is coming to reign, to rule with God's authority and glory. And at that time, it will be only at that time when the peoples on the earth will be brought into the real righteousness, peace, and joy, and the full blessing of God's creation. But you know what? Today, the church life, the genuine, true church life, is the kingdom of God. It says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, am I right? But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, today we are living in the reality of this kingdom of God. Today we're living in the reality of being under God's throne, the throne of Christ, the real David. Today we are under his shepherding rule, his shepherding care. Today, in contrast to the world out there, we would be here enjoying in the church life righteousness, peace, and joy that are really Christ himself. Hallelujah. Three, the kingdom of David typifies the coming kingdom of Christ. A, through the prophet Nathan, Jehovah spoke to David saying, "Your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever." Your kingdom here, speaking to David, actually is Christ's kingdom. Your throne here is actually Christ's throne. This kingdom and throne that will be sure forever and established forever is actually Christ's. That will be eternal. That will be forever. One, David's house refers to Christ. David's kingdom refers to Christ's kingdom, and David's throne refers to Christ's throne. Two, the kingdom of David is Christ's kingdom, and David and Christ have one throne. David, he actually asked God to build and establish and bless his house forever according to God's promise. He prayed for this, but eventually it will be fulfilled for sure in Christ. Now, we come to number three. The word of God conveyed by the angel Gabriel also confirmed that the covenant of David will be fulfilled in Christ in Luke 1:32 and 1:32 and 33. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb," this is Gabriel speaking to Mary, "and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of David, his father." So he was born king. He came actually as a king, although nobody recognized that. I'm referring, of course, to the Lord Jesus. Four, God's promise to David that his house and kingdom would be made sure and that his throne would be established for forever was fulfilled in Christ. Five, Christ will inherit the throne of David according to the promise of God to David to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. A, the earthly part in the coming millennium, in this kingdom of Christ, there will be actually two parts in this millennial kingdom. The earthly part of this millennial kingdom in the coming age will be the messianic kingdom, which is also called the kingdom of the Son of Man in Matthew 12:41. B, this will be the restored kingdom of Israel, the tabernacle of David, the kingdom of David, which the Lord will rebuild. Of course, we should know that there's a heavenly part of this kingdom called the kingdom of the Father, where Christ will be there reigning and ruling, and there will be his overcomers who are the co-kings with him in the kingdom. But we are here talking about the restoration of the kingdom Israel, the rebuilding of the tabernacle of David, and also the kingdom of David. And the Lord himself will bring in this restoration. The Lord himself will rebuild this kingdom. B, Amos prophesied that as the king, Christ will raise up the fallen tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David, the kingdom of David, and the household of David were just what? Were taken captive, right, when Nebuchadnezzar came. And since that time, that kingdom does not really exist. And as I will read here, one, the tabernacle of David is the kingdom of David and the royal family of David. Two, that kingdom, that royal family, fell when Nebuchadnezzar came to capture the nation of Israel, devastate the land, burn the city, destroy the temple, and carry off the king. What a sorry, sorry situation. That kingdom of David was annihilated, was brought to naught, both the kingdom and the royal family since that time. In Amos' prophecy, God promised that in a certain day, the kingdom of David and the family of David would be restored, and all the nations would be called by the name of Jehovah. And this is what will happen in the coming millennium. Four, this prophecy indicates that Christ will come back to be the real David. Hallelujah. And will rebuild, that is, restore the kingdom of his forefather David for the restoration of the entire universe. Five, at that time, the kingdom of David will become the kingdom of Christ and of God for eternity. Aren't we all looking forward to that kingdom? To that kingdom of Christ and of God for eternity. Six, the Lord will sit on the throne of David and reign over Jacob, that is the Jewish people. And he will rule over the nations on earth during the millennium. I will end with just quoting a couple of verses from a hymn, a couple of hymns. I mentioned 147, but I like to just read and declare stanza 6 of 193 concerning a praise of the Lord in his all-inclusiveness. Thou art the king as David was, and God's desire doth seek. The battle fought, the foe subdued, God's heart thou dost bespeak. Thou art empowered on the throne, not with a human rod, but with authority divine to reign for us and God. Isn't this something? This is the Lord as the real David ruling on the throne. And back to hymn number 147. Oh, what a good hymn concerning Christ in his kingdom. Now with the backdrop, with the understanding of Christ fulfilling David's type as the real David, as the real king on earth, the real king established, ordained by God to rule Israel and rule this whole earth, even in eternity, in the new heaven and the new earth. Let me just read verse 1. Lord, thou art God anointed. Thou art of kings the king. Here in full adoration, our song to thee we bring. Thy kingdom is forever. Established is thy throne. Thy reign with love and justice in glory stands alone. Verse 3, before the time of fullness, while darkness still prevails, 10,000s daily render to thee their loyal hails. That's what we're doing. From shore to shore thy people, to thee their praises sing. They worship, love, and serve thee as the dear Savior King. Aren't we doing this today in the church life? Worship Him, loving Him, and serving Him as our Savior King. Finally, in verse 4, when in the time appointed, with glory thou wilt come, the earth with all its nations, thy kingdom will become. In majesty and splendor wilt thou be served as King. All kindreds and all peoples, to thee their praise shall ring. Lord Jesus, we ring our praise to you. You are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. We say, we declare, thy kingdom, your kingdom come. To you be the kingdom and the glory. Amen.